Everybody, this is our Monday night conference call simulcast over BBS Radio. And Wynn and my associate and my dear friend, Terry Brown. Terry, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. I'm here.
And every Monday, we come together and we have a topic of conversation that we ask these voices that have been talking to me for the last 7 years to explore their group souls. But we have a bunch of people on the conference line now. Anyone want to say hello and their name and their city?
Glenn from Lewiston, Idaho.
Glenn from...
Marilyn from California.
Mandy from California.
Who from...
Edna from Indiana.
Okay. And who else?
And Michael.
Tanya Lamar from Boston, New York.
I heard from New York. Who was the lady from New York?
Tanya Lamas.
Hi, Tanya.
And hi, heard... how you doing, Lynn?
Fine, thank you. Did I hear a male voice in there also?
Yes, you did.
Who was that?
This is Michael in San Diego.
Hi, Michael.
Greetings.
And anyone else?
Shine.
Sean?
Shine in New Jersey.
What city in New Jersey?
Near Princeton.
You know, I was born in Philadelphia.
Oh, really? Very close, yeah.
I do have to tell you that you do not have a New Jersey accent.
Yeah.
What's your accent?
I'm not from New Jersey originally.
Well, if you were, I would be worried.
And what is your name, please?
My name is Wynn.
Wynn?
Yeah, and somebody must have told you to call in because every Monday we have this conference call, and maybe, did you get an email from me?
Yes, I got an email.
Well, I welcome you, and thank you so much for being here. And
hi, Wynn. This is Celeste from Escondido, California.
Hey, Sue Austin, did you say?
Celeste.
Celeste from Escondido.
Huh?
Celeste is an angel, isn't it?
Sally.
Same name as my daughter.
Same name as your daughter, okay. All right.
The voice is not very clear. Is everyone hearing clearly?
My voice is not clear?
No. Now it is.
Touch scratchy.
It's muffled.
It gets...
It's clear for me.
Sounds
okay,
good here.
Let's have a vote on it. Hey, how many is it clear for?
Clear.
And how many muffled?
Scratchy.
It is muffled at times.
Well, you know what? We're using the technology of telephones, and maybe when I mute everybody, it might get a little better. So I'm going to mute you all, and I'm going to start in our conversation with Terry, and thank you all so much for coming in. And I tell this to people, and I over and over again, and you guys are not anonymous. You're part of the energy of the call. We're creating something as a team, and you help make it possible for these calls to take place. So, but that doesn't mean I can't mute you. Okay, so here we go.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
All right. So this is Wynn, and Terry, you're still there, yes?
Yeah, I'm here.
And talk loud, and don't wave your hands too much. I think there's some people that came on for the first time tonight from Message a Day, and if you've been reading Message a Day, you'll know that I have this history of having communications through sources from, in a process that people call channeling, from people that I've been associated with. And when you first hear this idea, when I first heard this idea, it's very natural to be skeptical, and you should be. And I don't tell people to believe anything except what your gut and your intuitions tell you. So when I explain something, I'm not telling you to believe me. I can tell you what the experience is. Because these voices that have been talking to me explain themselves to be group souls, huge group souls. Now, what is a group soul? Well, there's this idea that there's other dimensions. Sometimes people refer to other dimensions as the other side. The other side is a place that actually exists, but it's not in this dimension. So we can't see it. But the other side is far more complicated than just being one place. Like you walk through a door and you go from this side to the other side. It's a really complex area that has many, many mansions, rooms, dimensions, timelines, and...
entry and exit chimes are off.
And that there are intelligences of all kinds in all these dimensions. And some of these intelligences are positive. Some of them have bodies. Some of them don't have bodies. Some of them are pure energies. So these voices that communicate to me, this intelligence that communicates, they explain themselves as not having bodies and as being pure energy. And they operate as a team, and part of what they do is attempt to evolve beings like us to grow into a more expanded consciousness, a more expanded awareness. And how do you grow into a more expanded awareness? Well, one of the ways is to go somewhere where there's an expanded awareness, because that awareness rubs off on you and you start to pick it up. We're all psychic. This is not a mental process. You can't expand your awareness by using your mind and thinking it through. There has to be some kind of experience of how it feels, much like a blind man who could see. If you were trying to explain vision to a blind man, it would be very difficult because a blind man has no reference for what vision is like. So that's kind of like what trying to explain other dimensions is. It's like many of us don't have a reference point for other dimensions, for the experience of it. So on this phone line, and you're not, how do I put this into words? Even though you're on a phone line, and even though you're hearing my voice, and all of this is happening in this dimension, your phone is lifted to your ear, or it's on the speakerphone, and it's in this dimension, we're talking to intelligences that are not in this dimension. And they have spent many, many hours trying to explain to me the nature of multidimensionality and what it means for a human to expand into other dimensions. And on these phone calls, oftentimes people have an experience of an expansion. They feel it. They sense something. And the first time that happens for you, you'll kind of say, "Was that it? Was that it? Did I feel that? And then you keep coming back, and the same feeling comes back, and you're starting to get a new reference point of how it feels to expand into other dimensions. Now, what is the advantage of expanding into other dimensions? Why bother, since we're here? Well, the reason is because we are not always going to be here. According to my understanding, this is just a temporary place, and you are not your body, but you're occupying your body, and your energy is in your body, your soul is in your body, but when you leave this realm, your ability to have accessed other dimensions and the experience of them is going to impact how and where you go when you leave this realm. So these are things that you have to study and see if it all makes sense. Of course, it's something that religion has talked about. In religion, they say you're either going to go to heaven or hell, and heaven might be an explanation of one of those other dimensions that we're talking about. Well, these sources that communicate with me have explained that they are comprised of millions and maybe even billions of individual energies, some of them were like you and I, who graduated this realm and then hang around to help those who are still stuck here. And they have the ability, they say they do, and I've watched this occur, they have the ability to do interventions with us. And, of course, if you've been reading my material or message a day, you may have come to the place where my sister had this incredible healing because I asked them to help her, and something happened that couldn't have happened. And sometimes people that are on this line email me, and I don't even know them, and they say something happened to them. Something shifted. Sometimes it was a healing. Sometimes it was a personal growth, but something happened. So coming into this line, just keeping coming into it, can be something that can speed up your growth and your evolution and your understanding of how things work. So it works on a lot of different levels. And if I have it correct, or if these guys are explaining who they are, these group souls have made many interventions in the history of our planet. And oftentimes, when they spoke to someone, it ended up in a religion. It ended up in a spiritual movement. It ended up in somebody being called a prophet. And my first exposure to this idea was when I wrote the book about David Wilcock, and I was studying David Wilcock and his channelings and this voice that was talking to David, and they explained this whole group soul concept. And then 2 years into writing the book, and you'll learn about this sooner or later in Message a Day or in my other book, Questions and Answers with the Elohim. 2 years into writing the book, I suddenly had a new relationship that spontaneously started talking to me and identified itself as the Council of Elohim. And I did a Google search on the word Elohim, and I came up with definitions like the creator of this realm, the name for God in the Old Testament, the name the Mormons used for God, and I asked them if they were the same, and they said they were part of the same. And they also said they really don't like being worshipped in the way people look at them as God. They're really a team that is there to assist us. They're a team that's in a higher dimension than ours, and that we and they can connect vibrationally, and that their criteria of connection is that we have to ask, because they don't violate free will. So we've had a lot of topics on these Monday nights, and sometime if you get a chance, you should go look at our archives, because some of the conversations we've had are just incredible. Like, we've had probably 6 shows on them explaining how they created the physical realm. And again, this is not like the traditional view of God. And it's that they don't want to be worshipped. They don't want to be put on a pedestal. They want to connect with us. They want to be, the way they explain it is that they can be our friends and we can ask. And we're going to learn tonight from them how to ask, why they have that requirement, although I have my own feeling about it, because if somebody just started talking to me and I didn't ask, I might be a little afraid. In fact, even when I did ask, I was a little afraid. I said, how do I know I can trust these guys? How do I know they are who they say they are? Do they have an agenda? Am I getting hooked into something? So these are all natural and respectable questions. So by being on this line does not mean that you're required to believe in anything, believe in me, believe I'm talking to who they say they are. It just means you've come here to evaluate, consider, and see what resonates for yourself. And I do thank you for being here. And if you do feel a connection with energy on these lines, I highly suggest that you come to our Sunday morning planetary and personal healing session, where we emphasize this connection with the energies. We don't do that on Monday because a lot of new people come and they're curious about the information. So we really focus on information and building trust. But our Sunday calls focus on connecting with the energy. And so many people feel this incredible energy right over the telephone line, right in their bodies, for an hour and a half during the call. So if this connects, please show up on Sunday. We usually send out an email announcement for our Sunday calls, but you can also find the complete schedule of our conference calls on the website at conference.messageaday.net. conference.messageaday.net. And on that note, what I'm going to do is what I call an invocation to the light. You know, when I do this invocation, sometimes I bite my tongue because I use the word God in it, and I'm not sure what do I mean to say here. We have such a loaded preconception of what God is, and it triggers those preconceptions. So when you hear the word God, you can use the one infinite creator. You can substitute universal love, the consciousness at the core of creation. But I'm still going to use the word God because I'm used to it. Okay? And for some of you, God is okay. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this line, and any negativity be taken to the higher realms and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the positive universe through the center of our galaxy, through our solar system, through the energies of the earth, the outer energies, through our bodies, and into the earth. If you shut your eyes for a moment, you may feel that flow. You may see some light up in the top of your head and what's called your third eye. And right now, we invoke a group connection. And when we do this, we are actually asking our energies to connect with each other in another dimension. So we can't see it, but many of you can feel it. You can feel a shift when I say that. And we do this all the time, maintaining the individual sovereign integrity of our own souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, operating in the law of one, to join with us and create a protected space that only the positive has access to, and anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have a source present? Terry, if you're talking, I don't hear you. Hello?
Hello. All right, I was muted.
Okay.
Were they ready? Okay. We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We are with you this 19th of April, 2010. Focused into planet Earth through channel Terry Brown. We take a moment to orient to the location and to your planet and to broaden our frequency range to encompass not only the visible spectrum, but the ultraviolet and infrared and other spectrums, moving up so that we are oriented. Do you have questions?
Yes, I announced the topic about why we have to ask to get your help. And, of course, that's a criteria that you have said over and over again, that you can't do any interventions unless someone asks. So could you explain why you have that stipulation? For example, if I was walking down the street and I saw someone that was unconscious and hurting, I could go stop and talk to them and help them, and they wouldn't have had to ask me. I would have done it just because I was caring. Why is it you have the stipulation of needing to be asked?
We have a stipulation of needing to be asked because we have a broader range of connection with your realm, and we see that there are, maybe call them trajectories, or pathways that individuals are pursuing, and they may not be the same or in conjunction with your thought of what their pathway may be, as if you saw somebody unconscious on the street, they may be in the process of moving out of the earth experience, and they may be reconnecting with the relatives or other individuals who are seeking to help them transpose into the higher densities or transpose from their body, which may be painful and which they may desire to leave. We do not need verbal asking. We do not need silent voice asking. We are able to interpret intention. So if it is the individual's intention, although they may be unconscious, if it is their intention to resume and to retake up their trajectory or their path that they have previously been walking in the earth plane, then we would notice that, and in conjunction with all that is that is impinging upon them, would move to help them to heal and to resume. It is a function of their intention, not only verbal asking, although verbal asking does place emphasis in a wider framework for the fulfillment of their chosen path or separate event or incident resolution upon their chosen path. We see that many individuals, as they get older, lose their willingness to pursue life in the third density within that body, in that many of the functions of the body as an individual gets older may begin to fail and make it hard for the individual to complete his path or his chosen tasks within the realm, and they may begin to withdraw because of pain or because of non-functionality of the body, and so they may be secretly wishing to leave, and this is heard as a request also. So the request that is made by the individual lying upon the street unconscious may not be the same as what you are perceiving. Do you have further thoughts in this area?
Yes, I do. When a person is making a request, the voice that we're communicating to right now is, has explained itself to be a conglomeration of individual energies creating this communication. So how is it that a request rises through the dimensions And how is it received by this conglomerate? And how is it assigned, if it is, for, oh, how would we say it? For help, okay? When there's a decision made to help, what is the mechanics of how the request leaves the person, penetrates the dimensions, gets received, and then assistance is extended?
You are still thinking of things in a linear fashion. It is non-linear. The individual whom we may be speaking of lying unconscious on the street is a surrounding envelope of energies and life force, and surrounding that there is the one being of all that is, which is also alive and is able to take the message and is able to administer a healing energy from directly around the individual. And this individual of all that is like the blackboard that all is written on, and the attention and focus of others then are in a unified field, and there are connecting vias via electric magnetic and there is another one which we do not know the name within your realm for. It is a precognitive gel or beginning of manifestation upon which thoughts can be written and transmitted and surmised. These thoughts are frequentized into frequencies, and individuals in the other realms of the same frequencies then begin to resonate with those frequencies. So that if someone has a negative thought, he begins to vibrate with those negative frequencies, and others, they then come in and surround that individual of a negative bent as if they were summoned by the negativity of the individual, as these have resonated out and begun to resonate other entities with said likenesses. So, when one is requesting, if they know our frequency, if not by memorizing it, just simply by having experienced it in the past and then are able to ask our assistance, then we can evaluate and adjudicate how the best outcomes can be achieved for that individual within that individual's framework for the individual's highest good, and can help in as a companion and in conjunction with the individual to magnify his own request for his movement or change and his travels to assist him in his travels on the higher path towards his highest good.
Thank you. You said somebody, if they tap into your frequency. Now, on the conference calls on Sunday morning, you particularly emphasize tapping into the frequencies of the higher realms. Am I correct in saying that if someone was attending those calls and started to feel those energies, they would have a little bit of a head start in making a request?
That is correct, in that they would then be able to identify the friends, us, out there, and talk directly more to us, and we would then resonate with this request.
It's easy for you to pick up the request when they can project it into the energy field that you're in.
That is correct, as if one were shouting across a field to the referee and they directed their shout to the referee. This be picked up easily or more easily by the referee than if they sent random chatterings around.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. You know, there's two things. We have about 7 minutes, and there's two things I wanted to cover. One of the things is you use the word a person's trajectory, and I have a feeling that many people, I know what you mean by that, but people on the line may not understand what you mean by a trajectory. Could you explain that in a simple way?
An individual has a relationship to the earth and to the location within the earth. And this could be considered a location, and then the individual would say move in location, and this would be a trajectory he would follow of a movement in a location. The same is true as an individual moves interdimensionally, where the individual can have a trajectory touching on, say, the Crystal City or other areas in other densities, and movement through interdimensional space into the heaven realm or other realms, wherein he can travel, although interdimensional travel is usually after one has transposed the body, transitioned to the other space and time without the body, or even in earth density space and time, but without the body, and then is then able to more easily move through the densities.
So, a trajectory in the physical realm is the kind of, if you're on a map, it would be the path from one place to another.
Right.
And each person that's on this line has another kind of trajectory that's not in the physical realm that relates to their life. And perhaps when they came into this body, I'm just seeing if this is what I'm saying is back correctly, when they came into this existence for this lifetime, there was something in their life path that said that they wanted to go from here to here, but not physically. They wanted something to transpire interdimensionally, some kind of expansion or something, and that there would have been a map line that would have been established at that point, which perhaps they might change in the middle of their life to say, I want it to be different now. But nonetheless, there was a trajectory through a certain amount of experiences, a certain amount of interdimensional movement that they would make in this life, but they have no idea in the physical that they're following that trajectory. Is that a way of saying it?
That is correct. Also, you could look at it as there are mathematical sacred geometries with which they build their experience, and they move them like a snowball, having picked up these mathematical sacred geometries, which they then rely on and operate out of as a matrix, as a home matrix. And then as we look at the whole thing mathematically, it makes it easier to see why it can be considered a trajectory, as there are moving sacred geometries to manifest an experience.
Now, I would imagine it's quite common that a person starts out with a certain trajectory, and then in the middle of it somewhere, they do something either to change their trajectory because they have a higher purpose and they add something new, new intentions, or maybe they screw up their original plan just by their own free will choice to do things which are detrimental to them. Am I correct in saying that?
Yes. By screw up, you may consider within their own framework they have gone a different direction, perhaps, than they wished, and end up somewhere else, usually because of following another's suggestions or ideas or resolutions than their own.
Okay. Now, if someone gets a reading, particularly a high-level reading, like the kind of reading that Daphne gives, is that something that would help a person stay on their trajectory, potentially?
Yes, if this would help them evaluate where they are at and give them other insights into directions they may go.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'll do a plug for Daphne's readings here. And if you go to daphnereading.com, she is doing readings. And I can say that the people that have gotten readings have gotten amazing benefit from them. So I know that everyone on this line, everyone that's listening, wants to know how to ask. And this is such a big topic because, you know, people think of asking like, okay, give me this, I want that, blah, 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 blah. And the criteria for asking and having a response, I think, is something I'd like to continue. Maybe we'll do this next week or at a future time. Watch your emails, because maybe we'll get into this enough to create an energy where we can have a silence and you can silently ask and see if we can make a connection and a completion, if that's okay. So we're 6:52. We're out of our time on VBS. I'll give our source chance to sign off with us all, and then we'll see some of you Wednesday for questions and answers. But if you can, come on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Watch your emails, and go ahead.
Your asking does not need to be sophisticated. It needs to be a heartfelt desire. We love each and every one of you. Adonai.
Thank you. We'll see you soon.